text today comes from Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to cover a few other verses, so if you're following along, keep Matthew 16 marked, because we're going to keep coming back to it time and time again. So Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' Well, they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets.' Then he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" Let's go to prayer real quick. Dear Lord, as we come to you, we want to thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for the word and ask, Lord, you would bless it and that each one of us would find the meaning within our hearts, Lord. Ask, Lord, you would just be with each one of us and the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. So a little background about what's been happening at this point. Well, Jesus had the Sermon on the Mount already. Jesus healed the blind, lepers, and raised the dead. He calmed the storm while they were traveling in a boat. Jesus walked on water. He cast out the demons named Legion. He fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. And the disciples had already been commissioned to go out teaching and preaching and performing miracles of their own. Now they find themselves in Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is located in the northernmost part of Israel. It was a highly pagan area, boasting some 14 temples to other gods, and was not frequented by devout Jews. There was a large cave with a flowing spring out of it, and in ancient times it was actually gushing water. And it was known as the Gates of Hades. The Greeks who settled here believed it was the door to the underworld. So just to let you know, this was not a region where the Jews were. It was a very, like I said, a very pagan area, and one that needed the salvation message. So first we see Jesus ask the question, "Who do people say that I am?" There are several answers given. All of them, if you notice, was someone resurrected, and whether it was a person or a prophet. He was someone special to the people, but they did not know who he truly was. And then Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" So why did Jesus ask this question now? The disciples have been traveling with him for almost 3 years at this point, I believe. And, so why now? Well, it was to find out, did they really know who he was? So, right from the beginning, when they followed him, the disciples believed he was the Messiah. But did they understand his divinity? Not just that he was a healer or a miracle worker. We'll get back to the disciples' answers in a little bit. But for now, I ask you, who is Jesus? Have you met him yet? Have you heard his voice calling out to you? It's important that we occasionally ask ourselves this very same question. This is one of those deeper questions where if we're honest with ourselves, we'll know where our walk is with Jesus. There are several answers about who Jesus and God are in the Bible, so let's explore a few of those. First off, Jesus is God, and he is the Creator. In John 1:1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." In Colossians 1:15, it says, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and is supreme over all creation." So since we know that he's God, then to Moses, he was the great I am. In Exodus 3:13, it says, "But Moses protested, 'If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them?' God replied to Moses, 'I am who I am. Say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" He's our strength. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, "Have you never heard, have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure his depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless." He's our shield and our protector. In Psalms 18, verse 30, "God's way is perfect, and all the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all those who look to him for protection." He is spirit. John 4, 24. "For God is spirit. For those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." To the Samaritan woman, he was the Messiah. In John 4, 26, then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." He's the great healer. In 1 Peter 2, 24, "He personally carried our sins in his body to the cross so that we can be dead in sin and live for him, live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed." He is life. In John 14, 6, Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." In John 8:12, "He is the light of the world." Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to me." He's the beginning and the end. In Revelations 22, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end." Only two more. He is love. In 1 John 4, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And finally, and most importantly, he is our Savior. In 1 John 4:13, it says, "And God has given us his Spirit in proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God." So there comes a point in time when Jesus asks each one of us, "Who do you say I am?" Before you answer, though, let's continue with our text for today. So Matthew 16 and 24 through 28. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom." So if he was just another man, why would you take up your cross and follow him? If he was just another prophet, what power would there be? How could a prophet save your soul? For they are just another man. So what about all the things we just read about who he was? If he was just any one of those things, it would be good. However, we still would be lost and in sin. So the answer lies in Peter's response to the question. So we'll go back to the disciples' answers now in Matthew 16, starting in verse 16. So Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven hath revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the power of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." So being the Son of the living God gives him power. The Messiah, the one prophesied in the Old Testament, who will save all people. You must believe that he is God, and if you do, it gives you a reason to take up your cross and follow him. Like Peter, though, this is something that must be revealed unto you. You can't learn it from your parents. You can't learn it from a teacher or a preacher. You can't learn it from others. It's like any other relationship. You can describe the relationship to someone else. You can tell someone all about the things of this person that they may have done. But until you have the relationship with them yourselves, you can't know for yourself what it's like. We find here Jesus calls Peter blessed. He's fortunate that he knows the truth. When we finally learn for ourselves that Jesus is the living God, we too are blessed. We're happy to know and fortunate that we have learned the truth. In verse 18, it says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." There are a couple of interpretations going around on this. It says, one, he calls Peter rock. So he will build the church upon the disciples. But rock is also the foundation of the buildings. It was this truth that he is the living God that is the foundation of church. It goes on to say that the powers of hell will not conquer it. And some can see this as a foreshadowing of his death. It says later in the chapter we read, it tells his disciples he will suffer many things and he will rise again in 3 days. This is the first time Jesus mentions of his death to the disciples. Oh yeah, and it says in hell will not conquer the living God because he will rise again. So I hope you take this time today and do some self-reflection. Ask yourself this question: who is Jesus? So if you all come to sing, that's all I've got for today.